Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Somebody's ringing the bell.
What's up? What's up? Dr. Mike.
All right.
I'm in the house.
What's going on? Who we got here?
It's Dr. Mike Washington on the line.
All right. How you doing, Doc?
I'm fantastic. How you feeling today, sir?
Okay. Everything's getting better by the day. We got quite a few things to talk about today. How's things with you, though?
Everything is fantastic, bro. I'm alive, doing well. The family's good. Just staying COVID low, bro.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about that in a minute. What about Sharon? Sharon Lewis, are you there? Punch one if you're there. Okay. Sharon Lewis, are you there?
I am here, Cliff. How are you doing this evening, gentlemen?
Okay. Listen, let me tell you a little something about Sharon. Sharon was on our show a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about this partnership that she has going on with the Commonwealth Edison. It's called Light Up the Neighborhood. And since she's been on our show, I think you got two different wards that have taken on your program, Sharon?
I have, Cliff. That's absolutely correct.
Great. Okay, we're going to talk about that because we got a lot of feedback from that. Okay, now, all the way from Panama, Cap Manuel, are you there, Cap? If you're there, punch one, please. Cap Manuel, he's in Panama. He called and left a note that he listened to our show all the way in Panama. So, Cap, are you there? Punch one. You dial that number, then you punch one. Okay, we give him a chance to check in. Then we got Mike. Mike, are you there? Mike Armstead, if you're there, punch one, please. Punch one, and you'll be on the air.
Yeah, Cap is here. Can you hear me, Cliff?
Hey, come on. We're going to start with you, Cap, right away. Listen, let me tell you a little something about this guy here. He's always been special. Cap, how long have you been in Panama?
About 8 years now.
Is that right? Now, you're originally from Chicago.
Yes, born and bred.
Okay, what neighborhood you come from?
The Valley, 4751st, Cottage Grove, the King Drive.
Okay, now where'd you go to high school?
Hales Franciscan.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay, that's kind of coincidence. My nephew is the principal there. At Hales Franciscan.
Okay.
Now, you worked at the Sheriff's Police when you were here in Chicago.
Yes, I did 22 years in the Sheriff's Department.
Okay, now you want to tell our viewers and listeners, how did you end up in Panama?
Well, I came to Panama for several reasons. One of them was my mother. My mother was born in Mississippi. But she died in Chicago. So not that I'm anticipating on dying anytime soon, but I didn't want to die where I was born.
Is that right?
So
how you end up picking Panama?
Well, traveling all over the world, I had some friends here in Panama. I came to visit them 1 week, and I say, I like this. It's warm all the time. The infrastructure is good. The economy is good. My little retirement, it can go much further here. So I said, I think I can do Panama, and that's why I chose the Republic of Panama.
Okay, now we as a black people, how are we accepted there?
It's a country of color because of the enslaved trade. A lot of us was dropped off here, Haiti, Cuba, Dominican Republic before it got to North America. So traditionally, it's a country of color, and Americans are accepted here very well.
Is that right? I'm surprised that I'm hearing you so well. I'm not getting any interference at all. But listen, my co-host, her name is Candace. That's my co-host. She's with AIA Media, and she does a lot of things, but she's a big advocate of reparations. Do they talk about reparations there in Panama in any kind of way?
No. No. Their history is their history, and American, African-American history, that's a different history. So
altogether,
I can't carry on a major conversation about Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, any of our historical features, historical heroes. You know, the majority of them are just not aware of it.
Okay. Let me ask you something. What kind of phone are you using for you to be coming in so clear like that?
I'm using an Android. I can call the United States with no problem. It's just a regular Panamanian phone, I guess.
Okay. And what is the major income down there? What is the income producer, the major there in Panama?
Well, one of the major producing incomes is the Panama Canal. They've just expanded in the Panama Canal, so it's accepting larger ships, and that just means more income for the country. But you know, oftentimes the major industrial complex doesn't allow it to roll down to the average working person. So you know, I think the average blue collar person, they might make $12,000-$15,000 a year.
Is that right? So you're saying that the cost of living is almost nil.
Well, the cost of living is much better here than it is in the United States. I always get people mad at me when I tell them that my car insurance is $165 a year.
Oh, my goodness. Show you right. Okay. Now, are there American-made cars in Panama? What are they driving mostly?
Oh, man, they driving everything they're driving in Chicago, except a lot of them fancy cars on Madison Avenue. The fellas with the dressed up clothes, you know. But
okay.
They driving good cars here, and they driving little bitty cars. So you know, it runs the gamut.
Is that a real populated country?
Yes.
Okay.
I had to look it up exactly what the population is for this year. But it's populated. I'm not in the downtown area. I'm in an area what is called the interior of Panama. I'm in an area called Chame, Panama, Chame. And it's kind of like, I guess you might consider it the suburbs, but they call it the interior. So I like that much better than the hustle and bustle of the downtown area.
Okay, let me ask you this. When the last time you've been home to Chicago?
It's been about 2 or 3 years now. I used to like to come in every year, but now it's every 2 or 3 years now. Or if I need to come in and renew a license or Yeah, mostly 2 or 3 years, you know, but only during the summertime. I can't spell snow anymore, so it's got to be warm.
Okay. Hey, Cap, we're going to get back to you for a minute. Listen, Mike Amstead, are you there? Mike, if you're there, punch one,
yep.
Please. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? Tell these people who you are, my brother.
My name is Michael Astell. I'm a resident here in Chicago. I've been in engineering all of my adult life. Graduated from CBS. I majored in drafting there. Went to college and got a degree in mechanical engineering. So I am going to be trying to introduce some of these young kids in the Chicagoland area to CAD. And I also just recently started my own business. Hopefully this new president will have some kind of infrastructure program. So I'm hoping to get projects with IDOT, Metra, and CTA and help some of these minorities, young brothers and sisters, get into the engineering field. It's billions of dollars to be made.
So what happened? You know, Mike, we both got something in common. We both Cavaliers, blue and gold forever. What happened to the vocational training? Why we don't have vocational schools no more, you think?
Well, I think it's all by design. Okay, so here's the thing. You went to CVS, so you know that school had almost every shop imaginable. Okay,
yeah,
our parents and grandparents, they made a living without having to go to college. So when they took all the vocational training out of these schools, you know, my feeling is that, first of all, everybody's not college material. We need electricians. We need carpenters. We need auto mechanics. So you can make a living, a good living. Actually, sometimes you can make a better living with some of the trade schools because you don't have to pay back those expensive college loans, you know.
Right.
And my thing is this, Cliff. Here's what I'm advocating. We need to hold our, especially our black politicians, accountable. Okay, they need to reverse some of the systemic racist policies that their white predecessors have put in place. You know, in Chicago right now, it's a lot of carjackings going on. You know, they're robbing, they're killing, they're stealing. They don't have a trade, a job to provide for themselves and their families. So they're on survival mode, especially right now with the economy and the pandemic. It's all been a 1-2 punch for the African American community and other people of color throughout this city. You know, when you got a guy who can make $50,000, $60,000 a week standing on the corner selling something, you know, he's not going to take a job at McDonald's making $7-$8 an hour. That's just simple economics. You know,
okay.
So, and another thing I just want to say real quick. A lot of these trade unions, they are as racist as these police stations are.
Okay, Mike, I want you to hold it right there. None of my guests, Lee. Is there any guests on here that I haven't called your name yet? If you are, punch one.
Yeah.
So, Mike, who is that?
Randy.
Who have I got? If you're a guest on the show, punch one, please, so we can talk. But in the meantime, I'm going to go back to Doc. Doc is a feature that we do every Sunday on our show. And Doc is a pharmacist, and he gives us a report on the COVID situation and some of the other health issues that we need to know about. Doc, what's going on?
Okay, good evening. How's everyone doing today? I'm going to give the COVID rundown. Yeah, in Illinois, we got 1.1 million cases of corona. And we have 20,645 deaths. We've distributed 1.6 million doses of the vaccine. We've administered 181,000 of those have been actually given to people. And so if you want to get the vaccination, just contact your local Department of Public Health and find out where you can go to get vaccinated. In the U.S. as a whole, we have 25 million cases of corona with 417,000 deaths. Worldwide, these numbers are increasing every week. We got 99 million cases worldwide. We got 54 million recovered, and we got 2.13 million deaths from coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And in Illinois, we got 5,120 new cases as of today and 110 deaths. And we also got quite a bit of people that are in the hospital in the ICU. We have 3,408 people in the hospital with coronavirus. Of those 3,408, 720 of those patients are in the ICU, and 387 of those are on ventilators. So, you know, that when you get on the ventilator, that's when you're going towards the dark side.
Okay. Well, Doc, here's my situation. This weekend, they open up the clubs and the restaurants here in the city. When I look at those rates, what I look at is the positivity rate, and the positivity rate has gone down quite a bit, and I think that's why they open up the clubs. But also, I feel as though they open up the clubs due to the fact that the Super Bowl, to me, everything's based on dollars and cents. The Super Bowl is one of the most watched, one of the most money-producing events of the year on a worldwide stage. And they cannot afford to have the Super Bowl not being televised, not being seen, not being watched in these clubs. And I feel that has a lot to do with why they're saying that you can open up the clubs now. Secondly, they're saying wear two masks now. They're telling you to wear two masks now. And then thirdly, my hero, Willie Mays, Ernie Banks, and Hank Aaron. Those are my heroes. And last week I was watching television. I saw Hank Aaron. I hadn't seen Hank Aaron on television almost since he stopped playing ball. And he was sitting there with his sleeve rolled up, and he's showing, telling me that he's taking a shot. And I said, oh, boy, that Hammer Hank is. And then this week he passes away. Now, that has something to do with that virus, with that other circumstances, because the time that they talked to him, he never said, nobody said nothing about he had health issues.
Yeah, well, I haven't done any research on his particular case, but last week the positivity rate was 7.1, and this week the positivity rate has gone down to 5%. So, like you said, it's some money involved in that situation, of course, because businesses are being closed and have been closed, and so it's almost like you're going to die if you don't open up the business, and if you open up the business, people are going to die. So it all comes down to money, man. You know, money
over health.
Okay,
let's say this here. Now, they have us wearing a mask. So they say mask is your protection. And now they're telling us to wear two masks. So all those fashion masks that they're wearing, you're telling me they really weren't doing a job? They were just something to match the outfit they was wearing?
Well, the difference between the masks, you got three types of masks. You got the blue mask, which is called the surgical mask, which is a three-ply mask, and then you got what you just described as your fashion mask, which could be one, two, or three layers, depending on who made them, and then you have the KN95 mask, which is a five-layer mask, and so that's the mask that I recommend that people wear in addition to your fashion mask or your surgical mask, because those have shown to be the most effective at preventing you from getting the virus. So,
okay.
You know, we have those available, and anybody that knows Cliff, you can call Cliff, and we can get you some KN95 masks.
Right. I have some available. We bought some just for those who may want to purchase some. Okay, now here's a young lady here, Sharon. We're going to bring Sharon on. Sharon told us about a program that she's working with, and we got a lot of feedback from this here. And it's a way of stopping some of this criminal activity going around in our neighborhood. Tell us about what that program is, Sharon, please.
Do you have his number? Not the one that get on the radio, the other number, his number. Talk to him.
Yeah.
What is it?
Okay, Sharon.
Hi, Cliff. I'm here. So
okay.
First of all, let me say hello to everybody this evening. And my name is Sharon Lewis. I'm the executive director and the founder of Meadows Seaside Community Resource Organization. And the program that Cliff is referring to is called Light Up the Night. So just to tell you a little bit about the program, it is a porch light campaign. And the benefit of this particular type of program is to provide for porch lights on income-qualified or low-income neighborhoods. What we do is we have partnered with ComEd. They have very graciously supplied the cost of the lights for us. These are dusk-to-dawn LED bulbs. And what a dusk-to-dawn bulb does is it comes on at night and it goes off in the morning. So we chose these particular bulbs because we found that people don't generally turn on their porch lights because they forget to turn them on, or it's costly for them because they forget to turn them off when they turn them on at night and then they leave them on all day, or they leave home and they're not home to turn them on at night, so then they find themselves coming home to a dark house. So the reason that we developed this program is so that by having a porch light, it helps to identify the address numbers from the street on the house. It is important for first responders to be able to see where they're coming to in your neighborhood. It increases safety and security. The residual effect, of course, is energy efficiency. But what we're trying to do is reduce the potential for criminal activity and inappropriate street behavior.
Okay, now how are they powered, and what is the cost?
So there is absolutely no cost to the consumer, to the neighborhoods, to the people that we are providing these lights to. So there's absolutely no cost to them. They are powered simply by you already having a fixture. So you must have electricity on your porch. So generally a house has a fixture. So what we do is we simply come out and we change the light bulb. So these are light bulbs that we're providing. The light bulb types are called A19s and E38. So to not be technical, it looks like a standard light bulb, and then the A19 looks like a standard light bulb, and the E38 looks like a floodlight. The difference is that they have omnidirectional sensors on them, which means that no matter which direction you put the light bulb in, it will capture the daylight, and then it will come on automatically. So the benefit of this being a corridor program is everybody on the block's lights will come on at the same time. Because when it gets dark, everybody's lights come on. And then, of course, in the daylight, everybody's lights go off. So imagine you're on a dark street. Pick any block in the city, any neighborhood that's darkened and that's having any types of issues, specifically carjackings, which is what we're dealing with right now. And all of the lights come on. It's 5:10 at night, and all of the porch lights come on that block. So now you have a well-lit corridor. You have a well-lit block. So who wants to be carrying on nefarious activities on a well-lit block where there's a spotlight doing?
Let me ask you this here. Have you actually brought this to the mayor? We got 50 wards in the city of Chicago where there's an alderman in each one of those wards. Have you actually brought that to the mayor's office or the office of procurement and anything like that? And if you haven't, do I have permission to tell them to get in touch with you?
You do have permission to tell them to get in touch with us. So what we've done is when we presented this program, through a program called SAG, which is all of the utility companies. So ComEd liked the idea of the program. They gave me the opportunity to do a pilot program. In this pilot program, we are doing 300 homes. So we're lighting up 300 homes to see, you know, how the program will act in a neighborhood, how people will be responsive to the program. Recently, we went over to the 29th ward, which is Alderman Talaferro's ward. He's been wonderfully receptive. He put us in touch with the 25th District Police Department. They helped to identify some active blocks in their neighborhood that would benefit from having these lights. We worked in conjunction with the North Austin, the Northwest Austin Council, and we went out and we put lights on a little over 80 homes, and we're completing that project as some of the people were not available the day that we went out. We did it as a day of service for MLK Day. So
okay.
Now these particular blocks have lights on all of their streets. So we lit up 5 blocks. And
well,
over 80
homes. I can't see nobody not buying into this. And not only that, but what you're talking about here can be done on a nationwide level. So I'm very much interested in that. And we're going to make sure that we talk about it on a regular basis. And so I want to get back to Cap. But first, what I want to do is talk about my co-host. You know, without Candace, none of what we're doing could be possible. Okay, she is actually taking this bull by the horn and ran with it, and she's everything. She's the engineer, she's the production manager, she's this, she's that, and maybe sometime we take her for granted, which I will never want to do, because without her, I would be nothing. But our program is growing so much. As you see, Cap was just saying he hears us in Panama, and we have all these different companies that are coming at us, want to be a part of what we're producing. And I just want to say publicly while I'm on the radio is that without Candace, I could possibly do none of this. And I want to make sure that she knows that. And it's almost like they got a commercial on the television now that this guy's heart is talking to him. And he's saying, you know, we used to talk all the time. You used to really take care of me. And he said, now you don't do too much to take care of me. And then he told him, don't you know that when I stop, you stop? So I want to say to all our listening audience, that Candace is the key to my heart. She's the key to this whole organization that we got going on. And if she stops, everything stops. And we can't live without her, and she's everything. And I just want to publicly announce, you know, that without her, none of this could be. Cap, let me get back to you, Cap. Now, tell people what you're doing now, because I think this is something you and Candace need to talk about.
What I'm doing now, basically, I kind of branched off to kind of what Mike was saying about a trade. Well, you know, I always been a photographer. I was a photographer, a wedding photographer, a public relations news photographer when I was in Chicago. So I'm still doing that here in Panama. Not to the extent that I do it in Chicago, because the economy and or the culture here is not like Chicago. It is ever supposed to be like Chicago, but they're not as photographic aware like we were in Chicago. So I'm not working as hard, I'm not working as much like I was in Chicago, but that's fine with me because I come here just to relax, unwind, eat a lot.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you right there. I'm going to interrupt you. You can't do that because Candace is putting together a TV show for me. She says I'm going to be the next black Mr. Rogers neighborhood. And so we're putting together a show. We were just waiting on this positivity rate to go down here in the city. And we're going to be shooting a pilot and we're going to be shopping it to some of the outlets as far as the regular TV program. So by you with your background in film and everything, I'm counting on you to come on board with us with that. But listen, before we go any deeper, Candace, let's take a break for heaven's sake and talk about one of our sponsors, which I want to be tell the people about. You know, most people are black people today for one reason or other. They're diabetics. And this particular vodka that's our sponsor, which is called Trust Me Vodka, it's no sugars in it, and along with the fact that it's organic, And so, therefore, when I found out that I was a diabetic, first thing I did was look up and see what alcohol can I drink, seeing as I was in the nightclub business. And the first thing they said was don't drink dark liquor and don't drink dark pops. So I went to gin, and then this vodka here just come out. So all our black people out there who... Say it again, sir?
Again, make you sin.
Again, make you sin. Okay, so the bottom line is, trust me, vodka is going to be one of our sponsors for our TV show as well. And so I want to give them a big shout out. We're going to do a big promotion with them here in Chicago. And also, I want to say something. Let's take a hair break for a minute, and let's tell them about our other sponsor, which is Good to Grow Hair Products. Candace, Good to Grow Hair Products.
My natural hair journey has been empowering and liberating. That is why I use Moisture Curl. Moisture Curl gives my curls the intensity they were born for. Moisture Curl is made with all-natural plant butters and essential organic oils. Whether you have coily or curly hair, Moisture Curl has the products to clean, condition, hydrate, and define your natural hair. Get Moisture Curl today and embrace your natural hair with plant-powered moisture for healthier hair. Available at moisturecurl.com.
Okay, that's Moisture Curl. That's a black company, hair care company, that I happen to know the owner and know that his product actually works. It's a product that his grandmother came up with that actually grows hair back for black people. So I'm always going to be beholden to them for being one of our very first sponsors on our show. But, you know, I had originally planned that I was going to talk a little bit about myself on this particular show, because a lot of people know me and don't know me at the same time. You know, first of all, I was raised by my oldest brother. My parents died when I was 5 years old, and my oldest brother raised me, okay? And so therefore, I have different feelings about different things. I've never been in love. I've had plenty of women in my life, but they were women who I appreciated and everything, but I don't think I was ever in love with them. And I've always been doing things. Facebook has only allowed the people to find out what I really do. When I was about 25 years old, they had the first black rodeo in a suburb of Chicago, a black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I was getting money, hustling, selling clothes and everything. And I rented a school bus and took 50 kids to Pembroke, Illinois for the first black rodeo. So I've always been doing things. And then I had a clothing store when I was in my early 30s. I had a clothing store, and I got me a Christmas outfit, and got my guy, he had a pickup truck, and I just loaded up clothes and toys in the pickup truck, and I just rolled down the street throwing toys out to people on the corners, on the bus stops and everything. So I've always tried to reach out for somebody, and nobody's never did nothing for me. And the reason why I'm going to say this here, because last year, and we're getting close to that time again, I honored one of the greatest black men in the United States, Dr. Conrad Worrell. One of the greatest black men that ever come out of the United States. He's one of the first ones that was talking about reparations. He part of the Third World. He was a professor at Eastern University. And so February 14th of last year, we were going to have the NBA All-Star Game in Chicago. And so I took all the little money that I have, and I rented the DuSable Museum. For those who don't know, DuSable was the black founder of Chicago, the city of Chicago. And I rented the DuSable Museum because I was going to have an NBA All-Star Game party. But instead, I said, why am I honoring some ball players when I have the most iconic building in the city to our black people, which is the DuSable Museum? It was February 14th, which happened to be Black History Month. So I ended up honoring Dr. Conrad Worrell. And as it turned out, it amazed me, a man so great as him had never been honored before. Okay, and so therefore, a lot of people say, well, he's not a come, he don't do nothing like that, he don't do nothing like that. Lo and behold, he did came. We had a fantastic show at the DuSable Museum, live jazz, food, the whole 9 yards. And not be known to me, 2 months later, he died. Okay, and then all the world, Jesse Jackson, all the big political pundits and everything, tell me what a great guy he was. Where were you all at when I honored him? I used my money. They made me get $1 million insurance policy in order to have my affair there. I raised the money. I got it. I ain't nobody. But when I want to set out to do something, I do it. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I don't know how to run second. I don't know how to run second. All I know is run in the front. It's just that simple. You know, then I'm a man. And I'm just saying that we have to stop hating on one another and support one another. Just like now, they're talking about this stimulus dollar. Okay, okay. Now, Biden is saying that he's going to give us $1,400 more. Who are you going to spend it with?
Right.
All they're doing is loaning us some money. Because as soon as you get to $1,400, there's nobody black that has anything you can spend the money with. You can't go to a black car dealership. You can't go back to a black grocery store. You can't go to a black beauty supply store. You can't go. I mean, I'm just saying, they're just giving us some money, and all we're going to do is just end up giving it back to them. So we got to learn how to protect ourselves. We got to learn how to invest in ourselves. We got to, you know, God say, bless the child that's got his own. We got to get our own. Ain't nobody, the Calvary ain't coming to save us. The Calvary is not coming to save us. And so, Mike, when I talk to you, and I, even when I talk to Cap and everything, we got to start talking and thinking in terms of building our own community, teaching these boys how to be carpenters, electricians, and plumbers. There's a lot of money coming down this pike here in Illinois. There's a lot of infrastructure money going to be let loose out here. But we can't get it if we ain't trained. Okay, so we got to start training ourselves. I'm saying these churches, we got these mega churches going on here who have rooms that they don't even use, and they got men 50 and 60 years old who are retired. They got all these skills. They can take these skills that they got and teach our young guys how to be this and that. Because I graduated, like I said, I graduated from CVI High School. I graduated with honors, okay? One of the most racist organizations in the city of Chicago is the trade unions. One of the most racist. After that becoming one of the most racist is this police department. One of the most racist. Them two right there. Just think now, when I graduated from high school, I was tooling down to make $15 an hour. They wasn't going to let no young boy in the 60s make that kind of money. What are you going to do? Have a job, have a home, and have a car, and live in a... And Washburn Trade School, before they allow, the government had told them that if y'all want to be funded, y'all going to start letting some of these black boys come into the school, and rather than do that, they moved the school and closed it down. So, Mike, what are you saying? What do we have to do to get our kids back on the right track? Because now we're going to talk about this here carjacking. They're not doing nothing but playing a game. Carjacking ain't nothing but playing a game. Why? Because there's no little league. Okay, you know how I learned how to drive a car? I learned how to drive a car at the go-kart range. It's just a natural order for a boy to want to know how to drive. We got 12 and 13-year-old boys carjacking. Why? He's ready to drive. I learned how to drive driving a go-kart. Where's the go-kart range in Chicago today? Where do they get to be boys? Where do they get to be boys today? A lot of these guys, they don't wear a shirt and tie because nobody ever showed them how to wear a tie. They never told them how to tie a tie. So we got to become more responsible in our community. We got to start taking a look at ourselves. And I'm saying to these women, you all got to stop acting like men. Yeah, I said it. Stop acting like men. Listen, if you and that guy didn't get along, that ain't got nothing to do with that boy. You can be a great mother, but these boys need men in their lives. They need men in their lives. Because he can buy you a new wig or get your nails done, something like that. That's on you and him. But don't stop that man from interacting with his son. That's important. That's important. That's important to me. So anyway, Cap, I'm going to go to Mike. I'm going to let you talk some more, please.
All right, Cliff, can you hear me?
Yeah, we're with you, huh?
Yeah. Okay, here. Okay, so we got five prominent black women here in the city of Chicago. We got the lieutenant governor. We got the president of Cook County Board. We got the mayor. We got the state's attorney. We got a black lady who's in charge of the CPS, Chicago Public Schools. Not only those, we have black men, Danny Davis, and also, what's his name?
Bobby Rush.
Bobby Rush. Okay, so, like you're saying, now, because of these systemic racist policies, these people should be trying to help the community. Crime would be so much lower in these cities, inner cities across the United States, if we could put these young men in some trades and some skills where they can earn good money, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like you said, these trade unions are racist as you know what. So, we got these black women who are in charge now. We need to start putting these trays back in high school and teaching these young kids. I want to start teaching CAD, you know. So that's one of the things I want to do. I want to reach back. And like you said, some of these older cats just retired and got skills as electricians. You know who's one of the best electricians, Cliff?
Where is that, my brother?
You know who I'm talking about. That's your boy, Eric Lewis.
Oh, Greg, ain't no question about it. Yeah, that's nephew.
Yeah.
He's a monster. He gets a pure monster,
right.
Period, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he's willing. So he's gonna do whatever I say. Let me say something, Mike. Listen, I have 6 grandboys. Okay, all of them under 15 years of age. If you ask any one of my grandboys, what grandboy whoop your butt about? I will whoop their butt if they say they ain't got no money in their pocket. You better not catch me without. You better not let me catch you without some money in your pocket. Okay? You ain't thinking right if you ain't got no money in your pocket. Okay? I get my grandson. He's 5 years old. Okay? I get him $3. I get him $3. Okay? One of those dollars is to pay your rent. One of those dollars you can spend on yourself. And your other dollar you can save. You got to save. You got to teach the children early. Man, the OJ said that, teach the children. Wake up, everybody. We got to teach the children. We got to become more responsible. We got to leave a better world before we get out of here. Okay, Sharon, what you want to say before we get out of here too, baby?
Well, what I want to say is we keep coming up with the solutions and our officials are not listening, and that's problematic. We know what we need in the schools. We've been saying for a few years now that we need to bring back the trades to the school. CVS has more than enough room to institute the trade programs. We're building new schools. We're not putting the trades in. We're building all over the city of Chicago. They're taking TIF money. They're putting it all over neighborhoods where it really shouldn't go, but you don't see any black people working in the trades. Even when you see the tradesmen in our neighborhoods, you don't see black tradesmen working in them. So the solutions are there. We're laying out the solutions. We need politicians to implement the solutions that we're laying at their feet. So
well, you know, on that very subject that you're talking about, I have a problem with money that's being allocated through legislation to go one place and they use it for something else. Okay, give you an example. We were rocked asleep with this lottery. The lottery was supposed to be so that we never have a problem again financing our schools. Yet they've taken
right.
that lottery money and did something else with that. I do not feel like you should take one money from one situation and go to another. I have a problem with that. You know, and here, let me tell you something else about a boy. Listen, a boy that's got a job, he got to work 8 hours. After he work 8 hours, he got to sleep 8 hours. That only gives him 8 hours to get in trouble. But because he has a job and because he has some money, he's not going to get in trouble. It all breaks down to a job. We got to get our young boys employed, and we got to get them used to having money in their pocket. That's very important. When you got some money in your pocket, you got to walk a little different. You do. You walk a little different. You talk a little different. And I'm just saying that they got to be accustomed. You can get accustomed to being broke. And I don't want myself and nobody I know to get accustomed to being broke. How about you, Cap, before we get out of here? What you want to say to us, my brother?
Well, I think I want to add an adjective to the money, say good, honest money. And you have to start somewhere. Even if you're working at the $7, $8, $9, $10 job, at least you have the inclination of getting up, going to a job, being there on time, following some kind of directions. So when the trade job comes along, you are more susceptible of using your time efficiently and understanding how to deal with money. Deal with a little money
yeah.
first. When the big money comes, you can handle it. If you throw some of these kids into a job training program, well, you know, some of them may not show up because they don't have that training. They don't have that heart that you and I had when we was coming up to go get a job, to go get some honest money. So, you know, it's a complex problem, but any amount of help is appreciated. And that's one of the reasons why I was trying to help you get into the political arena so that we can attack it from that way. And, you know, we tried.
We tried. We tried. We tried. And you gave me all the help in the world. I love you forever for that. You know, and, you know, an hour passes so quick and so fast, especially when you got a lot of things talking about. And I just want to say again that I want to thank all you guys for coming on board. Mike, we're going to work closer together. We're going to get more involved. And somebody called me today and said, what I think about Biden. Well, here's the thing about the Democrats. They have created a society of mailman watchers. And I say this again. If they send you the 1400, what are you going to do with it? Do you know right. nail salons right. make $50,000 a month, nail salon? Just ask your woman how much she spends when she goes to the nail salon. Ask her how much she's spending and how many times she go there a month. That should be our money. Right. How are you going to have somebody doing your nails that don't even speak English until they say how much you owe them? No speaking of English. No speaking of English. And then you say, how much I owe you? $5, $5, $20, $50. They know how to say that. So I'm just saying we got to start taking care of our own business. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to thy own self. No, Shakespeare said to thy own self be true. And Muhammad said, raise up by your own bootstraps. Because the people ain't coming to help you. And so that's where we at with that. And before we get out of here, I want to again say to Candace, I love you. Never want to hurt you. And I appreciate you immensely. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say goodnight. I appreciate all of you all. And I hope we had a wonderful show. And I hope everybody enjoyed us.
And if anybody wants any information about Panama, let me know. Okay. Everybody have a good night. Be safe.
Wake up. It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
Media, 10 more minutes.